of Peter, because we're trying to learn about being disciples who make disciples. And I think what a great life and testimony Peter has. Like Jesus took him from being an ordinary fisherman and made him a fisher of men. He took him from being really impulsive in his flesh to being disciplined and faithful in his spirit. And so Jesus transformed the life of Peter, and it took a long time to do it, which gives me great hope, because he's still working on me. Amen. And I praise God for that. So we saw how Peter was called by the Lord. Early on, we saw how Andrew, Peter's brother Andrew, got to meet Jesus. And then, remember, John the Baptist introduced him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew got to meet Jesus. Then the first thing he does the next day is go and finds his brother. Says, "We found him. We found Messiah." So Andrew introduces Peter to Jesus of Nazareth. And then we saw again in Matthew 4 and then Luke 5 how that Jesus comes by the Sea of Galilee and says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." We talked about how those are two different accounts and how it was early in his ministry. Jesus would come around and teach them, get his disciples. They would follow him around teaching in different places like an itinerant rabbi. And then they would go back, and then he would come get them again. But at some point, they left it all behind and just followed Jesus. And they became real disciples who would make disciples. And so we're kind of following along with that. We saw how Jesus came walking on the water in the middle of the night and how they thought he was a ghost. And Peter being Peter, he's like, "If it's you, Lord, bid me come out." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and walks on water. And continues to walk on water until he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and then he begins to sink. So we've seen some awesome events in his life, and we stopped short of this last time. So we're in Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to see Jesus' majesty revealed. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll read the text tonight. We're going to try to cover a few different things here. And remember, we're not going verse by verse through the scriptures. We're looking at some snapshots of Peter's life and ministry and teachings. And so there's lots of gaps you can fill in reading and studying on your own at home as well. But let's pray, and then we'll read together. Father in heaven, thank you for the time to sing your praises. I thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and I pray that you've been glorified in what we've done already tonight. And Lord, please get glory from your word. Lord, help us as we read the word, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us understanding, your Holy Spirit would come and teach us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, help us to know you. Help us, Lord, reveal yourself to us through your scriptures tonight. And help us to know you and to go from this place equipped and encouraged to make you known. Help us to be genuine disciples. Lord, please help me. I'm nothing without you. Pray you bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, we just pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Please be seated. Jesus' majesty revealed. This is commonly, we talk about this as the transfiguration of Jesus. That's what the word says here. He's transfigured before them. We sometimes refer to this as the Mount of Transfiguration, but Jesus took them up north. We don't know exactly. Some people think it was Mount Hermon, but they went up high into the mountain, and Jesus took only three of the disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. And it seems like those three are often in kind of the inner circle. Jesus had the 12, and inside of the 12, he had the three that got to see and experience a little bit more. Maybe you wonder, why Peter, James, and John, and why not everybody? And the answer is, you can ask him when you get to heaven, because I have no idea. I just know that he had some things, and maybe it was their faith. Maybe it was something he saw in them. Maybe it was because he was preparing them for things that were going to happen in the future. I don't really know. I just know that's the way it was. And so he had those three, and he invested in them, showed them a little bit more than the others. But he revealed his glory to them. He takes them. He goes up into a high mountain, and he's transfigured, verse 2 says, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, can you just imagine that for a moment? Number one, you got to climb a mountain with Jesus. And when you get to the top of the mountain, out of nowhere, it seems, Jesus just stops and this event happens. His face is shining. His clothes are glowing like light, and they're there. Pretty awesome, right? Kind of reminds me of when Moses went up on the mountain and he met with God. My Bible says that he spent so much time with God, 40 days and 40 nights he was there. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything. He was just there in the presence of God. And when he came down, his face was glowing. Amen. Amen. And the people were afraid, because wouldn't you be? Amen. I mean, we used to joke about that growing up close to Sequoia Fields over by Gore, that stuff would glow in the dark, right? But I never actually saw that. Never actually saw anybody glow. But this Moses came down glowing. Jesus was glowing. But here's the difference. Moses was glowing as a reflection of the glory of God. Jesus was glowing as the glory of God. So he displayed his glory, and they didn't know what to say. As a matter of fact, Peter starts talking, and Luke 9:33 says, not knowing what he said. Now, I know most of you here can't really understand or relate to this, but sometimes Peter talked without thinking. Amen. You guys never do that? Never just open your mouth and, what is it, insert foot? You guys have never done that? Just real quick, do you guys ever have conversations with yourself in your head? Amen. You guys do that? Amen. Okay, some of you do that. Do you ever have a conversation with yourself in your head while your mouth is saying words? You guys, some of you know what I'm talking about? Because there have been times that my mouth is talking in my brain saying, shut up, stop talking. And my mouth just keeps talking, right? Okay. Peter, I feel like I identify with him so well. Jesus is displaying his glory, and because Peter doesn't know what to say, instead of not saying anything, he just talks. And he says, this is really good, Lord. It's really good you brought us here. That was good thinking on your part to bring us up here. As a matter of fact, I got a great idea. Since Moses and Elijah are here with you, we ought to make a tabernacle for you and for Moses and Elijah. Isn't that a great idea, Lord? I don't know, but since he's talking and he doesn't really know what to say, he's just talking, I kind of get this idea that he was probably that nervous, you know, just kind of just rambling. You guys know what I'm talking about? Where you don't really know what to say, so you're just saying words, and you just... I kind of get the idea that's the way Peter's going. And it's interesting to me because Jesus doesn't say anything, but all of a sudden a bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice from the cloud speaks. You guys know who that is? Yeah, this is God the Father. And the voice out of the cloud says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, I don't know how it sounded. Doesn't describe it here, but every other place in the Bible that describes God speaking sounds like thundering. Amen. Maybe the voice of many waters. There's ways, but God's voice was powerful most of the time. I know there's the still small voice, but here I just imagine that the Lord probably got Peter's attention. Amen. And I get the sense that this is in the middle of his rambling, just saying stuff, and then God speaks. And I got an idea that Peter got real quiet then. Amen. Well, why do I think that? Because the Bible says, when the disciples heard it in verse 6, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. Amen. So Peter speaks without thinking, but then God the Father speaks. And what is the message of God the Father? Guys, you gotta realize that God doesn't speak from heaven often in Scripture. Like, this isn't a normal occurrence. God doesn't often show his glory and then speak with an audible voice to mankind. He doesn't do that all the time. When he does, it's a really big deal. And when God speaks to these men on top of that mountain, what does he say? This. Jesus is my beloved son. This is my son that I love. Amen. Now, they already had an idea, right? Peter had already said, thou art the Christ, the son of the living God. Now it's confirmed by God the Father himself speaking out of a cloud with all of his glory. This is my beloved son. And what does he say? Hear ye him. Isn't that awesome? God the Father says, that's my son. I want you to listen to what he says. What a great testimony for us today, right? Amen. Some people are all the time saying, man, I wish God would just speak to me. I wish I could just hear his voice. I wish he could just tell me. And I just sometimes, I don't know, I just feel like God's maybe up in heaven wanting to thump you on the forehead. Just say, like, it's right there. Amen. It's there. Amen. You want to hear from God? Open your Bible. What are you going to find in there? Where are you going to find the very word of God? Amen. And don't you love this truth? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. Amen. Not like our friend we met on Outreach Sunday. His Bible says the word was a God. A little g God. That's not the truth. Amen. The truth is the word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. Okay? And then we go down to verse 14, and what does it say? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And we beheld his glory. You guys with me right now? Amen. Yeah, John wrote it after the fact, right? We beheld his glory. When he said we beheld his glory, he wasn't just using poetic language. We beheld his glory. Amen. Right? And then you know what Peter says later? We have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. Even better than seeing the glorified Christ, even better than transfiguration, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What is that? That is the God-breathed written word. Jesus is the word incarnate, the word in flesh, but he has given us his word and preserved his word for us so that we can hear from him. And God, I believe with all my heart, would say to us tonight, Jesus is my beloved son. Amen. Hear him. Amen. Hear him. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Amen. Do you want to follow him? Amen. Then understand what the Father says. Know who my son is and hear him. Amen. It's not complicated. It's simple, right? So they're laying on their faces. They've shut their eyes really, really tight because they're very afraid. And just like when you're a kid, you know, the tighter you shut your eyes, the more everything goes away, right? So they're terrified. They're shaking. They got their eyes squeezed really, really tight. The glory, they can't even tell if it's still there anymore. And then Jesus touches them. They're terrified by the voice of the Father, but they are brought up by the touch of Jesus. The touch of Jesus got them up. Arise and be not afraid. And when they lift up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I believe tonight that God wants us to know the majesty of Jesus. Amen. He wants us to see the majesty of Jesus. He wants us to experience the majesty of Jesus. Now, I don't think Jesus is going to take you up on a mountain. I don't think that Jesus is going to appear to you in a vision. I don't think that you're going to hear the voice of God audibly today. But I do know this. If you'll humble yourself and you'll pray and you'll open the word of God, you can know Jesus. Amen. And you can see Jesus. And you can experience the majesty of Jesus. Maybe not with these eyes, but definitely in this heart. You can experience his majesty. And I think he wants us to. So we see he gets to see and experience the majesty of Jesus. Peter and James and John, they're all there with him. And then he tells them, don't tell anybody, and they go down the mountain. Okay? We're going to fast forward now to Matthew 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. So we see Jesus' majesty revealed. Number two, we see Peter's misplaced confidence. Peter's misplaced confidence. Verse 31, the Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I want you to get this. Stop right there for a second. Jesus is getting ready to go to the garden. Jesus is about to be arrested there. I think all of you have read the rest of the story. So you get the context. Jesus spoke. Who did Peter declare Jesus to be? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Who did God the Father tell Peter directly Jesus was? My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So do you think, if you understand those truths, that you should listen to what Jesus says? Amen. Well, even if you miss those truths, this is my beloved Son, he said, hear him. Amen. So if God the Father from glory in heaven says, listen to my Son, you should probably be a good idea. I reckon it was a good idea for Peter, probably a really good idea for us too. Okay. So Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended of me because of me this night. You're going to be offended. You're going to stumble. And then he goes further. He doubles down because he's going to quote scripture and he's going to say, because it's written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So he tells them, he prophesies his own prophecy. Then he backs it up with scripture, and he wraps it up with some more prophecy. And the first response is what? Peter said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Sometimes what Jesus says is not what we want to hear. Sometimes what the Bible says is not what we want to believe. But we've got to set aside our own thinking, our own understanding. We've got to listen to what the Bible says. Sometimes what the Bible says is contrary to our traditions or our thoughts or our ideas or the way we were raised. Guys, we've got to learn to set aside all of that and just see what he says. It's really hard sometimes. I mean, it's so hard sometimes to let go of our own thinking, our own ideas. And here's Peter saying, listen, I don't care if all the rest of these guys are offended, I won't be. Like, I don't know about them. I can't speak for James and John, but I can tell you where I'm at. I will not be offended. I will never be offended because of you. Then said Jesus unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, man, Peter, I just want you to get the picture in your mind. Like this, they're in the room together. They're sitting close together. They're face to face. And Peter is, I mean, I can just imagine him standing up, jumping up and saying, no, I'll never, like everybody else may be, but I would never be offended. And Jesus looks Peter in the eye and says, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And when Jesus is speaking and looking you in the eye and telling you what you're going to do, how would you respond? I'm just telling you in my heart right now, I'm getting a little scared just saying it. And Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Lord, I would die, but I will never deny you. Now listen, I get it. It's a great sentiment, isn't it? What a great heart. What great courage. But he's contradicting Jesus. I don't know what was in Peter's mind. I don't know. Maybe you could try to excuse it. Maybe you could say, well, he thought Jesus was testing him and he's trying to make sure he passes the test. All that you want to say, I'm just saying he directly contradicted the Lord multiple times right here in a row. He was really inspiring too, because we often skip the end of the verse, but it says, likewise also said all the disciples. They might have got their hackles up a little bit when he's like, everybody else may be offended, but I won't be. And then when he says, listen, I would die before I would deny you. And they're like, yeah, Lord, we're ready. We'll die for you. What's the problem here? Is the problem that in their heart they said, I'm willing to die for you before I would deny you? I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is they were boasting in themselves. They had confidence in themselves. Guys, we cannot have confidence in ourselves. Our confidence must be in him. They had confidence in themselves over their faith in the word of God. Amen. I believe in me more than I believe in what you say. That sounds like a very American thing, doesn't it? I believe in me. Just believe in yourself. Be your authentic self. Sometimes I get scared when I'm preaching that somebody's going to take just a clip of what I said and then like just make a reel out of that. Just me saying, be your authentic self. Oh, Lord. There's a lot of things that people say and they're well-intentioned. And I think that these guys were well-intentioned. But guys, listen, I want to believe Jesus more than anything. More than myself, more than my perception of reality, more than what I think is right. I just want to believe him. Their problem was their confidence was placed in themselves instead of Jesus. Our faith must be in God and his word. And if it is written, it will be. You guys catch that? Where does that come from? Well, Jesus did it all the time. The apostles do it all the time. This happened because it was written. This happened because as it was written. And there's things that we can look at in the Bible today and we can see that it says it is written. There are still things that are going to happen. How do we know? Because God's word says so. Amen. And just as I know that it said a virgin was going to conceive and bear a son, his name would be Jesus because he would be Emmanuel, God with us, and it happened just like it was written, I know he's coming again. Amen. I know he's coming again. I know he gives eternal life to all who believe. There are so many things that we know because he says so. So let's trust in his word and not in ourselves. It's a good thing if you say, I don't ever want to deny Jesus. But don't ever boast in yourself. Trust in him. Amen. We get the benefit of reading the story later. And I think it's been good for us, hasn't it? It's been good for our learning to learn not to boast in ourselves, to learn not to trust in ourselves. Especially when you're a new Christian and you're getting started out. Like, I really want to change my life. I want to do better. I want to stop doing these bad things and start doing these good things. And you feel like you have to do it. And you're trying really hard. And sometimes early on, it's a little easier because there's some excitement and there's some zeal. But I want to tell you, the Christian race is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Amen. And there are going to be days. Right now, you experience this excitement and this zeal, and it kind of is coming easy. But there's going to be days when it's not going to be easy. There's going to be days when it's really, really hard. Amen. And there's going to be days that it feels like the best thing in the world you could do is go back to your old life. Amen. And in those moments, you have to learn not to trust in yourself, but to trust in him. Amen. Not to believe in yourself, but to believe in him. Right. Not to follow your heart, but to follow the word of God. Amen. You got to learn to depend on the power of his spirit because you can't do it on your own. I already told you the end of the story. Peter would die, crucified upside down, in an act of humility, saying, I'll die for him, and he did, but don't crucify me the way he was. I'm not worthy to be crucified the way that he was. And for whatever reason, history records that they gave in to his request. They crucified him upside down, and he did. He did die for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this. Peter learned to walk by faith. Amen. He learned to walk in the power of the Spirit and not in his own strength. So the Lord told him what was going to happen. Now look, if you would, to Luke 22:54. We're going to read this. I'm going to make a few comments, and we're going to come to the end of our service tonight. Are there places in the Bible that you just love? Passages that I go read that just because I love to read it. Anybody got those? Amen. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I love to read that. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation. I just love reading that, don't you? I mean, I just love it. Amen. I love it. Like, they've been a 3-year drought, and he's like, bring more water. We don't have any water. I mean, they soak it. It calls down fire from heaven. I love that. And there's passages that I just love reading. This is not one of those. And to be honest, like, I don't even like reading this. I don't like reading it because it convicts me. I got a little bit of shame for Peter. Like, I don't know if you guys are like that, but I feel shame for him. But I feel great fear and conviction for me. Because I haven't denied Jesus to my memory with my lips. but I have often denied him with my actions. Luke 22:54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now listen, I'm not going to belabor the point tonight, but I just read verse 57 again. Peter said the words, I know him not. It's devastating to my heart that a follower of Jesus would publicly say, I do not know him. He did exactly what the Lord said he would do. He had boasted in himself. He had confidence in himself. He was so sure of himself, and he was deadly wrong. Nelson, sorry, you've used the phrase so many times, it just sticks with me. Sometimes teachers who teach things wrong, we would call those false teachers. They're often wrong, but never in doubt. Yeah. Often wrong, but never in doubt. Peter was wrong, but he wasn't in doubt. He had great faith in himself. But faith that's misplaced is worthless. But the tiniest, smallest amount of faith in the right one changes everything. Amen. So don't trust in yourself, trust in him. Fear caused Peter to do the thing he swore he would never do. Fear will drive you to do things that you didn't think you were capable of. So how do we overcome fear? I think it's faith. I think faith, trusting in God, overcomes our fears. Because he had put in faith in himself, that faith did him no good. So fear overwhelmed him, and he denied the Lord. When the rooster crows, Peter remembered the words. And can you guys just picture that moment in your mind? The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter's outside by the fire. Jesus is kind of inside. It's open courtyards. Like it's they could see each other. And the moment the rooster crows, Jesus turns around and looks at Peter. Peter looks up and sees Jesus. And I got to believe their eyes locked for a moment. You guys ever had those moments with your parents when you were a kid? Yeah, it was. I imagine Jesus was heartbroken too, right? Amen. I remember it's basketball season. I remember it being at ball games. You guys probably weren't like this, but I was often rambunctious and doing things I wasn't supposed to do. And I remember those times when I was maybe doing something stupid and I look up and my mom's looking at me. Has ever experienced that? Now, I was afraid of my mom. Still am. And I remember those feelings or those looks or when your parents are getting on to you and they're disappointed in you. You guys ever get one of those talks? I am so disappointed in you. And in that moment, you're like, could you just get a bat and beat me to death? Like, I would much rather have that than you look at me and say you're disappointed. But I can only imagine. But get it. Get what happened. When Jesus looked at him, he remembered what Jesus said. And the voice of Jesus echoing in his mind and it broke him. Amen. Guys, it broke him. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. And when the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly, you know what it means? It means he went out and he cried his heart out. It was broken. He was broken. And it was the best thing that ever happened in his Christian life. You guys see it? I get it. All of you in this room, we got this desire. I want to be so good. I want to be so perfect. I don't ever want to mess up. I never want to fail. I got news for you. You're going to mess up and you're going to fail. And instead of pretending like you've got it all together and pretending like everything's fine, the best thing for you to do is to go out and weep bitterly. The best thing for you to do is be broken. Be broken because you have disappointed your Savior. Be broken because you've denied him with your lives. Be broken because we have fallen short. And the only thing we can do is cry out to him. And you know what he does? Just like when Peter was sinking in the waves, he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reaches down and pulls him back up. And that's exactly what happens here spiritually. Jesus doesn't run out to him physically, but spiritually he reaches down and he picks Peter back up. And he'll do that for you. He's broken. Failure is painful. But it's not final. Aren't you thankful that we have a God of second chances? And chances and chances and chances and chances. And I have no idea what your week's been like, your month, your year, your last year in your walk with Christ. But I know this, if you have failed, if you have denied him with your lips or your lives, he stands ready to forgive you and to restore you. And it is the greatest thing that can happen in your Christian life is for you to be broken for your sin. Mark 16:6. The women come to try to find Jesus, his tomb in the garden. They're going to go roll the stone away. They're going to anoint his body properly because they didn't get to do that before he was buried. They're trying to figure out how they're going to roll the stone away because it's really big. And they see the angel there. You guys remember this? And the angel says, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." And I don't know all that this means, but I think at least in some way, the Lord's letting Peter know it's going to be okay. I want to see you, Peter. I want to see you. I'm not done with you yet. And the devil will tell you when you mess up that God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. And the devil will tell you that God's done with you. Don't listen to the devil. Hear Jesus. He wants to see you. He wants to use you for his kingdom and his purposes. Let's stand together. We're going to continue the thought, if the Lord will let us, next week in John 21, if you want to study ahead, to see more of how God would continue to work, Jesus would continue to work with Peter and bring him to restoration and transform him into the fisher of men that he wanted him to be. So you can study ahead if you want to, but tonight, just know this, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God still loves you. He's not done with you yet. Hey, guys, you know how I know he's not done with you yet? Because you're still here. When you're not here anymore, we'll know he's done with you. He's not done with you yet. So be quick to repent. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If he's convicting your heart, maybe tonight you need to put your faith in him. Maybe tonight you need to be baptized. Maybe tonight you just need to get some things right with him. I have no idea. Whatever it is, you make sure your heart's right with the Lord before you leave this place tonight. What are we going to sing, brother? 542. Let's sing together, pray together, respond in faith together.